Mr. Garland.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of points, if I may. Appreciate that I think the applicants have received this morning, which is why the document has arrived late. That in itself does present, I think, a few problems which I'd just like to clarify with people around the table for the purposes of helping members make their decision. So if I could ask Andrea if... I'm assuming in the normal course of events the fire service would expect this risk assessment to be submitted to them for approval. That's correct, isn't it? Okay, excellent, thanks. And the applicants, you had it this morning, I'm not expecting anything to be done, but no work has taken place as yet. Presumably you would await, would you, the response of the fire service before undertaking the works?
Yeah, firstly, apologies, it's just coming this morning.
Fine, yeah.
So we've decided to not aim to open this weekend as per the tent. We have organised all of this work to be done from Monday. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're working on today. Yeah. So we'd like to withdraw the tent for this weekend, with a view to try and aim for Friday the 30th. So we've got a chance to get all of this work complete before we open to the public.
Okay, thank you. So you're asking the committee then to not have any regard to your application then for the 23rd of November?
Not for this one, no. Thank
until
you.
The 29th of November?
29th,
okay, thank
please.
You. I think the difficult position that that members find themselves in this morning is that the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service, who are the appropriate body to assess this document, obviously you wouldn't have had a chance to. Equally, you wouldn't have had a chance to do anything because you've only received it this morning. I'm sure the licensing authority will be, and the members of this committee will be very pleased to see that you're engaging now with appropriate responsible authorities. But as the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service are not party to these proceedings, we ask them for their view on it. In any event, I think it highly unlikely that they'd be willing to give a view, having only seen it for 15 minutes. And so on that basis, Chairman, I think it's indicative to members of the committee as to the engagement that's now occurring between the applicant, the person issuing the temporary event notice, and the appropriate authorities. In my opinion, at this stage, only so much weight can be attached to it because it hasn't been approved by the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service. So that's my advice at this stage, unless I can be of any further assistance, Chairman. Those are my submissions to you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. That is most helpful. Our members, I'll tell you with that before I proceed. Yes?
I would just like to check that
yes, Councillor Howe.
The fire and rescue would then, if they're doing the work over the next few days before the next application comes into force, does that mean that they would then have to approve it?
So some of the difficulty, Councillor Howe,
now
you have the applications before you, so the legal point that I'll make to you is that you have to make a decision on the temporary event notices that are before you. One thing that you're restricted on doing is a point of law, because unfortunately the persons issuing the temporary event notice to the authority do not have a premises licence at the moment, is you cannot draw through any conditions. So there is no way for this committee to condition the prior approval of this before the premises is opened. And I think that that's a difficult position that the applicants, the persons issuing the temporary event notice, find themselves in, because I believe that this is part of a project. They've submitted the temporary event notices whilst the premises licence is being considered, and so it was their intention, their hope, to open before they were granted their full premises licence, and that's the reason for their temporary event notice. I think I'm right in saying that.
Right, yeah.
That I think is the difficult positions that the applicants find themselves in, and the difficult position that the committee find themselves in terms of, I know, I'll be saying to you that you can't condition that.
Okay. To compliance with the fire and
And also, the persons issuing the temporary event notice to you for consideration will know their obligations under fire safety regulations and things. So they'll be obliged under that anyway. But for the purposes of the matters that are before you, because the fire regulatory legislation isn't before you to make it a judgment on, is that at this stage you have those representations to you that a qualified person has made a risk assessment, but you don't have the opinion of your professional experts in terms of how much weight to attach to that at this stage.
So at this point, we don't have compliance.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Understood. But we move forward. Mrs. Andrew Ball, would you like to present your case, please, for the licensing department?
The committee are asked now to determine three temporary event notices submitted by Mr. Ryan Burr for licensable activities to take place at 30 Union Street Ride, Isle of Wight, premises to be known as the Otto Club. The 10 submissioners requested that the sale of alcohol and late night refreshment be authorised from 1800 hours on the 29th of November until 1759 hours from the 30th, of November until the 6th of December, from the 7th of December until the 13th of December, and from the 14th of December to the 17th of December. The maximum number of persons proposed to be present on the premises at any one time during the hours when licensable activities will be taking place is 80. Although the fire safety risk assessment submitted today now says 60. At the time of writing the report, it was noted that whilst the hours for each of the 10 submitted were compliant with the limits set within the Act, the total number of event days originally requested would have exceeded the maximum permitted. With the withdrawal by the applicants this morning of the first 10, this is no longer an issue. In respect to the consultation, the TENS were submitted on the 8th of November and the Police and Environmental House had until the 13th of November to submit objections in accordance with the Act. Mr. Burr, the TENS submitter, has also submitted a premises licence application which is currently in consultation. It is understood that Mr. Burr has submitted these TENS to enable him to trade during the period that his licence application is in consultation. Both Police and Environmental House have submitted objections. Police consider that each of the four licensing objectives are at risk of being undermined if the TENS are permitted. They state that rushing to open the premises, which must be considered as high risk of crime and disorder, if only by virtue of its operating hours and location, present extreme risks as carefully considered conditions cannot be applied. PC Bradley is present and will give further details on the police's representation. Environmental Health has also objected on the grounds of public safety. They state that until such time as evidence has been provided to confirm that the fire safety measures at the premises are satisfactory, they object to any TENS taking place. Concerns remain as to whether or not the safety of customers and potentially those persons living in flats above the premises will be compromised due to inadequate fire safety measures. Mr. Hopkins, the fire safety officer, visited on the 13th of November and met with the landlord of the flats above. In summary, the communal areas and flats are compliant against the regulatory reform order, with just the requirement to carry out and complete a fire safety risk assessment. The only concern that Mr. Hopkins had at the time of this visit was that the work carried out in the Otto Club may have undermined the fire separation between the ground and floors above, which could only be determined by inspecting fully. In order to assess this, he returned on the 16th of November with an officer from Building Control to inspect the business premises. Mr. Hopkins reports that there was still a lot of work to be done in order to achieve compliance, but believes it is possible to do so. All parties were provided with a copy of the email sent to me by Mr. Hopkins after his last visit prior to today's hearing. Mr. Hopkins has confirmed that as of this morning, this position remains. The applicant has provided a number of documents this morning and all parties have been provided with copies of these. Amongst these documents, there is a fire safety risk assessment which has been carried out by a certified individual. However, at this point, the fire safety officer has not had sight of this and is unable to comment. Mr. Hopkins has also reported that a further inspection of the premises would be required and this has not yet been carried out. Mr. Alan Barnes, the Commissioner for Housing Renewal, is here today to present his objection. Members will be aware that they cannot modify the TENS but can only refuse or permit some or all of the TENS up to the prescribed limits. If members are minded to refuse the events, then counter notices will be issued by the licensing department under section 105 of the Licensing Act 2003. Thank you.
Thank you. Do the members have any questions at this point in time? No. I move now to the applicant. Mr. Ryan Burr, would you like to present your case?
Yes. So, thank you for taking the time to read the background information. I believe there was a few misinterpretations of our intentions for opening on the Thames. We first visited licensing back in April last year, and we engaged in a very long process of determining which license to apply for. One way or another, we've sort of got this project together, which we're going forward with, and we are now able to identify the specific license we need and how to make that acceptable for all the sort of various people involved. We have basically amended our policies and how we wish to operate to conform with everything that's been presented to us. One of them being from the police about the prevention of children entering the venue, basically, because that was a risk. So we've made sure that now no one under 18 can come into the venue. We've got a membership policy, so we're sort of doctoring people that can come in, or vetting them, if you like, so that we keep a sort of clientele base true to the concept in there. We've also engaged with PC Security Limited, so that we'll have a licensed door person there on a Friday, Saturday evening, or whenever we need them. The operating hours we've also put forward have changed. So we would now just be looking to do probably two events notices, I believe, starting from the 29th, just for a couple of weeks in order to get organised before potentially our licence comes through all being well. We've obviously had our fire risk assessment back this morning, which we've engaged in all of the changes that need to be made to make sure we're compliant. I think we're sort of just trying to fulfil all of the objectives set out by you guys to keep everyone safe.
Well, thank you, Mr. Burr. That was clear and proper, and thank you for that. I now move on to the responsible authorities. Would I take Alan Barnes, please, for environmental health?
Thank you.
Sorry, Alan, can you just switch mic on?
Okay.
Just in the big bit of one, okay. for the tape.
Can everyone hear me? Is that
better?
Okay. I first had sight of this information sort of mid-November, and my understanding is, as has been explained, is that my colleagues in fire safety and Peter Millwood from a building inspector initially had some concerns, but then, as you mentioned, they've come out and visited the property. But I've got sight of an email where Terry Hopkins, the fire safety officer, has specifically asked for certain information to be clarified. And one of the main risks, from my point of view, was the flat accommodation of Buck, and then this ascertaining as to whether or not the fire separation is satisfactory or not. Now, just having a quick look, I mean, I know you've only sort of received the report this morning. My understanding is that Terry Hopkins has actually spoken to Mark Elliott, who undertook this report. However, unfortunately, I think it's lacking in confirmation of a couple of crucial items. One is that one of the ceilings, which I understand which was a concern, because I believe there was a suspended ceiling that's been removed and is exposed a lath and plaster sort of older type of ceiling, which is the date of the building probably. The concern was whether or not, is that just a roof above that ceiling, or is it a flat accommodation? And that was specifically asked to be clarified in the fire risk assessment, and it hasn't, unfortunately, for you guys. So on that basis, I'm not particularly happy, and I'm pretty sure the fire safety officer will not come and speak to for him. The other point was about a vent from the kitchen. I noticed that the fire door to the kitchen is going to be satisfied,
sure.
So I think that's okay. But there's a mechanical vent, I believe, from the kitchen. And again, that is unknown as to whether that just goes out of the roof and over the roof, or does that in some part go through this flat accommodation above? So I haven't got a clue. It may not. It may be okay.
Okay.
But unfortunately, you'll be poor. He's missed.
May I just
Mr. Burke, you put all your questions through the chair, please.
Oh, sorry.
Or through the bench.
Apologies.
And you know. Would you please continue?
It's probably in part my fault. Do apologise about that. I was
it's okay.
However, so, from those two sort of crucial points from my perspective and Environmental Health's perspective, I'm afraid, from my point of view, I still have an objection at this point because the information has not been clarified and it's satisfactory.
Right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take PC Paul Bradley next, then I'm going to ask the bench if I have any questions to the relevant officer that have just spoken, and then I'm going to ask the bench if they have any questions of yourself. Normally I don't do this, but because we have late evidence, that is the way I'm going
to
take it. Is that okay? Alan Barnes. PC Paul Bradley, would you please... present your case to the bench.
That's thank you, Chair. Okay, so following the withdrawal of the first temporary event notice, the application has been submitted for 3 tents, which will effectively allow 24-hour, last effectively, for 24-hour period from the 30th of November to the 17th of December, with two gaps of 24 hours in between. And the objections remain the same from the Chief Officer of Police, which in summary that they're for a start submitted to allow the premises to start trading during the consultation period, which for the premises licence which they've submitted. And although they're entitled to do that legally, it would seem to go against the spirit of the Act, which TENS were designed to cater for, this is quoting the Home Office guide, but small-scale one-off events, not as a means to circumvent the consultation process. It also circumvents the 7-day limit on such events, as it's clearly the same event, basically to start opening during the consultation period. The consultation process itself allows for careful consideration of all the factors that might impact on the objectives and for suitable protections to be put in place through conditions. And as Mr. Garr's already identified, conditions can't be put in place for this. This premises does not have an existing licence. So effectively, the applicants could conduct licensable activities without any enforceable means of oversight whatsoever. And I appreciate there might be upstanding citizens, so I don't know any of you, but this is simply the fact. We would have to accept an undertaking from them with no means of enforcement should things go very wrong. Now, this premises is located in Union Street Ride, which alone is the busiest area of Ryde in the nighttime economy, always has been. It's therefore got to be seen as being of significant risk. I appreciate we've had the submission today regarding, as far as I can see it, the children from harm issue, and certainly some other points that I raised in the objection submitted. But again, I would say that these would simply be undertakings at this stage. We cannot possibly condition that because we're not legally entitled to do so. It's an untested location which will be operated by staff who are untested at that location, even if they have experience themselves. I think personally that it's a risky proposition to allow these tents to go ahead, and those are my submissions to the chair and the committee.
Thank you, PC Bradley. What I now am going to ask Councillor Beston and Councillor Howe, do they have any questions first to Alan Barnes of Environmental Health? Then, when those questions have been answered or any are submitted, I will then do likewise to you, PC Bradley. And then I will ask Councillor Beston and Councillor Howe, do they have any questions for the applicant? Gentlemen.
No questions to threatening or enforcement.
Any questions to the police?
If I could just have one, Chairman, thank you.
It doesn't work. Please
restrict my ability to speak, Chairman. Oh, hang on, it might be that. Yeah, it is. Thank you. Peter Bradley, if I can, just for absolute clarity, we're now on the removal of the temporary event notice this morning, for the 23rd of November. We're looking specifically at now three separate temporary event notices, commencing on the 30th of November, the 7th of December and the 14th of December. Just for absolute clarity, is there any particular event occurring in Ryde that would mean that your concerns are increased, if you like, on any of those temporary event notices, or is your concern generally in relation to all of the temporary event notices submitted?
It's generally in relation to all the temporary event notices submitted. To my knowledge, there are no significant events going on in Ryde during those periods. However, I would say we are approaching the busiest time of the year. Mm. Just check the dates on that again. So, no, I mean, historically, a date known as Mad Friday would, I think, this year occur on the 22nd, and that's, it's known by a number of names, one of them being Black Eye Friday. That's in the run-up to Christmas. However, what we do find in the build-up to Christmas is that we get a lot of office parties, we get a lot of office functions. It's a very unpredictable time of year, not just in the nighttime economy, because a lot of people finish in their offices and then will go out and drink to excess, certainly excess of what they're used to, because it's Christmas coming up and it's their annual office party. So nothing specific, but general concerns.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm grateful for that clarification. I hope that assists members in their decision.
Yeah, it does. Councillor Beston and Councillor Howard, do you have any questions to the applicant? Councillor Beston.
Thank you, Chairman. Otto Club, effectively a members' club, the name of subscription, changed this morning to over 18s, only children allowed. I don't know about Otto Club. Can you just explain to us your intentions within Otto, how it would work, and more specifically, there's a lot of hours to cover. Theoretically, if these tens were granted, can you tell us how those hours would be covered, staff-wise, DPS, responsible, legal, etc.
Thank you. So the hours covered in the temporary events notices was on the advice of the licensing department, and we hope to bridge a gap between when our license will potentially come through if we're successful on the 11th of December. This concept's been a long time in the making. Jack and I have worked together previously for a long time, as have Adam, and we've been trying to sort of build a new concept for the island, where Jack and I and Adam are able to sort of put forward our interpretation of what we'd like to do food and drink wise. It's been a shame, but it took a long time for this the first application to go through on the advice of licensing. We were told to go for a private members club license, that was in April, and then I believe September we realised, or maybe October actually, we realised that wasn't the appropriate course to take, so we had to submit a new license, and obviously in the meantime we were trying to sort of build our client base. It was then sort of discovered that there were a few things we needed to organise. So we approached licensing in order to bridge a small gap between when we would be able to open and when the licence would come through. Otto is geared towards a sort of older demographic, people that enjoy decent food. Jack and I have worked together previously at some great establishments. Jack's moved to the island from the Fat Duck Group. To come and do his sort of offering here, which we're all very excited about. I think with the sort of hours put forward for these event notices, perhaps the consistent running of them is where we've had the confusion. We have no intentions of opening later than 11 p.m. Through the weekday, and then we're hoping for 1 a.m. on the Friday and Saturday with security there. in sort of light of this, we would really be looking forward to just opening on a Friday and Saturday for this week, a Friday and Saturday the following week, the 29th, and then the following weekend just for two nights, purely because we would like to sort of get a chance to sort of get people in before we get our full license through, effectively. It's not our intention to work straight away through. That was the advice we were given and when we filled the forms up.
You're doing very well, Mr.
I've been in one of these.
No, you're doing very well.
Okay.
Is there anything further you'd like to add?
We are just wanting to try and align with you guys and whatever we can do to sort of fulfill our obligations. I haven't been in this situation before, and unfortunately it appears I've been unprepared in a few areas which we're trying to rectify now. Just any advice that you are able to extend to us and what we can do to commit to making sure it's no public nuisance and we can deliver our vision, hopefully.
A very clear and proper response.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Is there any further questions?
Thank you very much. Just one add-on. So what we're saying is that essentially the club the establishment will be food-led.
Food-led.
Yeah.
Jack can take a couple of words if you want.
That's fine. The one question that wasn't answered was within the premises, are you planning on any special events like casino nights, etc.? Something outside of the norm.
No, thank you.
The
only events that we have planned are aligning with some brands to do tasting evenings. We won't be having live music, we won't be having it as a party venue. It's all seated. We've got a fairly definite kind of furniture arrangement that I don't think we would want to have any sort of large parties or anything going on there. It's just a dining-led establishment. We're all chefs by trade, and it's something we are really sort of looking forward to bringing another level of quality to the island, as it were. The only sort of events we've got planned are with some prestigious sort of brands that specialise in products, ethical sort of products, or different types of organic salmon and things, where we pair different dishes and wines and stuff. And I don't know if Jeff wanted to possibly have another chat about the food.
My name's Jack Blumenthal.
I usually would come through yourself, but this occasion I will allow you to answer the question.
Well.
Please do. And you are, sir?
My name's Jack Blumenthal. Like Brian said, I'm just recently moved to the island for this exciting project, so I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe it could bring a lot to the island. I'm a ambassador for a couple of different companies. I've got an ethical foie gras company approached me a while ago, so I'm going to try and bring that to the island. There's all these interesting things that I can bring. It's all very exciting. I do really hope that we can comply with you guys and really work together to make this work.
Thank you, sir. Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. Your membership, you say that the up to £750 per annum, is that a sliding scale depending on the... Right. The other question, how many people, or does there only members in this, or no member guests, they can't bring in guests?
They may bring guests, yeah.
Right.
Each member may sign in up to a couple of people each.
Right, so if you had 60 guests,
forty of them
could be guests of a member.
No.
Well, you just said that. Sorry.
If there's 60 people sat in there eating, each member that is there can bring two others. So I don't think the math. If there were
60 people there, and each member could bring in two, that means that out of the 60 people, there could be 40 of those people weren't members.
Yes, sir.
Right. So it's not really, if you have 40 of the members, people sat there, were not members, you say that the membership fee would deter any problems, but two-thirds of the people there could be non-members.
Yeah, members are responsible for their guests. We have a very strict policy, which is available on our website. There's 20 points of members. Non-members aren't allowed to pay. Everything is done through a new initiative we've aligned with a till company, which are a brilliant global company, where everything is tracked on a membership card, which basically they are entirely responsible. They're entirely responsible for all their guests' behaviour. The guests aren't allowed to order drinks. They're not allowed to pay for their own drinks. Everything goes through a member. There are strict policies on who we will have in the venue. There is a dress code. Every effort will be made to ensure that it's a very enjoyable space for all. Although members are allowed to bring guests, we do have things in place that people aren't allowed to continually visit without membership. And the membership applications are considered by our company secretary, who has a potentially an interview with these people, and a lot of effort's going into creating a nice, friendly environment, basically, that won't be disrupted.
Right, thank you very much. Thank you, Chairman.
Any further questions?
No.
Right, we now move into the reverse. Mr. Burr, you have the opportunity now to sum up. You've been speaking all the time, so if you wish to take a glass of water and clear your voice.
Yeah,
I should have clarified
the procedure here, because we're about to actually leave off the police and the environmental health.
So
to sum up.
Very responsible.
Yeah, let's take PC Bradley.
Right, PC Bradley, would you like to sum up, please?
Yes, Chair. Would it be appropriate to draw the committee's attention to the club rules or a copy that I've provided with previously in relation to the guest issue?
No, it isn't an opportunity to sum up. I don't think that's relevant, because we're looking at the temporary event notice. It's probably more relevant for the full licence application.
Right. Just to sum up on what you've heard and what you may have said.
Well, the position of the Chief Justice of the Peace has not changed dramatically from the information we received. Today, the position remains that we will be reliant on, we'll be effectively looking at temporary event notices, which conditions can be applied to, reliant on the goodwill of the gentleman here, no disrespect to him, but again, I don't know. And from what I've seen, there are certain inconsistencies in knowledge of the rules of the club, which would continue to provide him with concerns. It's still the opinion that this is being used as a means to rush opening through, which will potentially be undermining the license objectives and not be subject to a proper consultation that is required for the premises for the safe operating of premises in
Thank you. Mr. Adam Barnes, would you like to sum up, please?
From the information I've heard in the outcomes today, my understanding that a lot of the work is going to be carried out within this next week. I would hope that part of that work is the identification of the deficiencies and whether or not that would affect the flat above within this period of next week, and a written assessment and a report of that can be given to the fire safety officer for his review and inspection within this next week. And then if everything is satisfactory at that point, then I wouldn't have an objection coming up at this moment in time without that information, but my position hasn't changed.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Licensing officer? And this is Andrew Hawke. Would you like to sum up, please? I really am crossed about that.
Whilst discussions have taken place with the membership element of the way in which the premises will be run.
Is the applicant chair?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah.
Sorry, can I stop that?
Yeah.
It needs to be the applicant.
The applicant first and then comes
I apologise, Chair.
No, but it is
there.
My papers here are in the reverse of what I've been taking for the past 14 years.
Chairman, the process is what's been circulated.
If I can just provide some advice, unfortunately the Chairman's been provided with a procedure list that's incorrect. I think that's
quite, and I did question this and was told it was correct.
Some concern. So if we take first of all the applicant itself, it is now the opportunity to speak, applicant at last. So again, as the Chairman's already clarified to you correctly, it's an opportunity to sum up and not to bring in new evidence, just go over what's already been said, if indeed you have anything to say to him.
Thank you. In summary, I would just like to convey that we will absolutely be satisfying all the criteria set out by the relevant licensing authorities today and police and the building control. We have actually got some investigation underway regarding the specific point you've raised, and we're confident we have a solution, so that is something I'd like to look forward. We'll have a full report done this week for your consideration. We have taken into account this festive period coming up. We have some additional policies that we are adding to our membership rules, etc. We have initiated an exit policy so that people aren't leaving at the same time at the end of the evening. We have a smoking policy where there will only be six people at any one time smoking outside the venue. We have also initiated a local taxi firm that is going to be exclusively using our venue for their business so that we can ensure the safe to and fro of our guests. We would only hope to open, in summary, between the hours of 6 p.m. and potentially 11 p.m. It's just really important that we get the ball rolling with this project, because we have been accumulating members for considerable time now, because we hadn't foreseen any of these issues. I've never experienced them before. It's financially been a huge burden for us continuing this project. I'm finding it really difficult to maintain the enthusiasm to keep pushing this through, and we've had considerable issues along the way. I just feel if we have to wait till our licence may or may not come through in December, it's going to really have an adverse effect on this project, because we're really sort of looking forward to trying to do what we're doing. I don't believe it to be any harm at all, and I think we'll just really smudge it to get on with it and hopefully enjoy a nice relationship with all the various authorities and do what we set out to do.
Once again, for a very clear and precise summing up, thank you. Now I now move to Mrs. Angela Ball for the licensing officer. Could you please sum up?
Whilst discussions are taking place with the membership element of the way the premises are intended to be run, the temporary events, if permitted, will not prevent members of the public entering. If the committee are minded to permit the tens, they are reminded that any verbal or written assurances that have been provided, whilst perhaps well-intentioned, will nevertheless be unenforceable under temporary events. In making its decisions, members should consider the objection notices and determine whether to permit or refuse one or more of the events, and as conditions cannot be attached to the tens, the only options available to members are to permit or to refuse. Thank you.
Thank you. We've now heard the case thus far. We will now retire to deliberate on what we've heard. Mr. Dodd.
Thank you, Chairman.